Hi, this is Mika Häkkinen, double Formula One world champion. All the best for the readers, F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 841, July 20th, 2020. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say welcome to Hungarian Dance number 8 by Johannes Hamilton. The beat goes on by the Danube. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, they don't just dominate, it's how much they dominate. And is this year more dominant? Why are Mercedes challengers unable to fight these guys? Sebastian Vettel in his Ferrari and Leclerc were both lapped by Lewis Hamilton. And finally, why would Fernando want to come back to this? We have more from Gary Sloan in thepitlane.com. And very quickly, I'd like to remind everybody that we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the left side of the front page. You know you want to. $100 gets you a cup of coffee. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Man, I am doing very good. Thank you for asking. Hope all is well on the left coast. Talking of domination, I do want to ask you a question, if you don't mind, sir.
Absolutely.
Lewis Carl Hamilton now has 86 Grand Prix wins, which is more than Nando and Sebastian Vettel combined. How does that grab you, Mr. Host?
Well, the lucky dog in such a great dominant car, it would be odd if he didn't have all these records in this car. This car, if Alec Trebek was driving this car, he would have all the records. This car is so machismo, so dominant. The question is, how dominant is it compared to previous dominant years? So now, Mercedes has gone into a new realm of reality where we're going to actually start calculating the degrees of dominance and how much dominance each year has proven to be. Can this 2020 W11 be the most dominant of previous W's? And I'm not talking W. Bush. So this is very interesting. I think it's absolutely fantastic for Toto, the CEO of all this. He has done an outstanding job. He knows he's done the outstanding job that everybody sees him doing. He deserves the Iron Cross, for God's sakes. So there you have it, Nas. Unbelievable. And the interesting part is, what's very fascinating for me, it shows you what a great driver Schumacher was. Because every time we're talking about a record that Lewis Hamilton is breaking, it's not Bob Newhart, it's not Guido Sarducci, it's only one person, and it's Michael Schumacher. Every record that he's breaking, how many races, how many wins, Grand Prix attendance, I mean, it's unbelievable. I think we underappreciated Schumacher, but there it is. I mean, the package is going to be here for a while. I think the dominance is going to go on deep, deep into 2022. If you don't accept that, you're in a heap of trouble. And I do wish and I do hope that the Schumacher family are getting the acknowledgement that they deserve while these records are being shattered by Lewis Hamilton. I think it's fantastic. And as these records get shattered, the Schumacher name will fade away and the Hamilton name will be in the limelight, like in Vegas, flashing. Impressive, unbelievable, the greatest ever. I think he is the Muhammad Ali of Formula One. Nasser?
Well, I agree with anything and everything you have said, except for one thing. I don't think the name of Michael Schumacher will fade away, but I know what context you're saying, so no problem there. I'm going to tell you something. You know, when Michael Schumacher was winning, a good friend of mine of German origin, every race weekend, every qualifying session, he would give me an update. Because every time he got into a car, he was setting a new record. Good for him. And I used to say in those days that if Hans Christian Andersen was writing a fairy tale about a Formula One driver, his hero will not be as successful as Michael Schumacher, because what he achieved was absolutely mind-blowing. I think the second highest Grand Prix winner was Prost at 51, and he went to 91. And what I like, and you know, this is at least speaking for myself, for all these great drivers, Schumacher, for me, it's not his wins, it's not his pole position, it's all his record. It's how he came into the sport and their first qualifying session. That just told me what this guy was all about. And same thing with Ayrton Senna. It's not the 3 championship or the 65 poles and or getting into a duel till the death with Alain Prost at McLaren. But that performance at Monte Carlo 1984, which he did not even win. These are the things that sets these people apart. And of course, records are made to be broken, and what Lewis Hamilton is achieving is absolutely unbelievable. And you know, the amazing thing is, this kid is now in his 13th, 14th season of Formula One. And I think, of course, he has the best car, but I think he is at the peak of his career now. He is really performing. How many cylinders these cars have these days? 6 cylinders or 8 or whatever. He's firing on all of them, plus the hybrid and MGU or MCK or whatever they have. It's just absolutely fantastic. And I think we are lucky to see all these names in our lifetime, starting with Freddie Pauly, even people who did not win championship like Jackie Aix and Ronnie Peterson. Sterling Moss, of course, goes back before my time. But it's been a fantastic era of motor racing. And I am just very, very happy. And, you know, I'll tell you, man, if you look at the two Mercedes drivers and the two Red Bull drivers, the difference between a very good driver, you cannot be very good and survive in Formula One. You have to be very good. But the difference between a very great driver and a very good driver is less than half a second, maybe 0.2, 0.3. But that is the difference that brings you championships. Or one-time statement from Ron Dennis, welcome to the world of winning. You know what we are talking about here. So these are fantastic times. And when you read these numbers, every which way, more wins than Alonso and Sebastian combined. I mean, the way it's going, this Mercedes domination is going to continue next season. And I will say what I was saying last year. And you were asking, why is Alonso coming back to this? I get the impression everybody wants, especially the teams, they want Lewis Hamilton to win. I mean, this guy's going to end up with 100 plus Grand Prix wins and 8 or 9 championships. And then you can see him in LAX.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. I just don't understand why Fernando wants to step into this Lewis Hamilton cauldron or Toto. I call it the Toto Hamilton cauldron. I mean, it's hot. It's boiling. It's not going to stop. The fire is intense. Why? I mean, Renault has no chance of coming up with a competitive package up against Mercedes next year or the year after that. So I'm not sure what Renault told Fernando. Obviously, maybe he's getting a lot of foie gras for free. I have no idea what France is offering Fernando to come to Renault, but he must know. I mean, even a podium is going to be tough. So I am baffled by this, but there it is. I mean, maybe he just wants to be close to Lewis. That must be it. He wants to be part of the paddock when Lewis is breaking. I mean, by 2022, I mean, yeah, like you said, I think we're going into 100 Grand Prix. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. There'll be ticker tape parades. There'll be confetti. And now I understand Fernando just wants to be part of the party.
And, you know, in all this hoopla and all this rapture of love for Lewis, what a tremendous job done by the Red Bull mechanics. Absolutely unbelievable.
You mean the unsung heroes of Formula One?
Yes, sir. What happened is I was watching all these Formula 3, Formula 2, Porsche Cup before the event. And so when I tuned into the race, it was just after 9 o'clock. There was 10 minutes to go. And I saw these guys were like an ant colony working on this car. And I was not aware of his crash to the run up to the grid. And so I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? And I said, he's going to get disqualified, or they're going to tell the team to ship it from the grid. And then I went on a website, and it's the website said, start of the Hungarian Grand Prix may be delayed due to Max Verstappen's crash. So then it dawned on me, okay, they're trying to fix this car, but I never thought they will get it going. And then, man, wow, what a performance, huh?
Exciting. So exciting.
But before we get into nitty-gritty details, shall we talk a little bit about Colley?
My favorite.
Yes, sir. Seb qualified in top five in has qualified in top five in Hungary every year since 2008. But this time it was the first time this season both red cars appeared in Q3. Leclerc gave him company on row 3. Now, first time a team that was supposed to challenge for the world championship in the third race, both of them have made it to Q3. So, what can you do? All you can do is wish Lewis all the best. Row 2 was all Pink Panthers, really marking their territory. Daddy's boy, which was quite a surprise, Daddy's boy ahead of Perez. Baby Stroll said on the team radio, the car was on fire. I guess he or any good driver will be a burning sensation in the right package. They all must be asking, Car 44, where are you?
There's a holdup in the Bronx, Brooklyn's broken now in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout troop short a child, Khrushchev's still red and a wild.
Car 54, where are you?
And that car was on top of the grid, 90th pole for LCH, number 7 in Hungary, matching Schumi's record. His time of 1 minute 13.447 set a new Hungarian Rhapsody at the track. And here, because it's Hungary, I have to say, good evening, Mr. Alonso. So the top three rows were the united colors of Benetton, black, pink, red. Max had a slow dance by the Danube, qualifying 7th, followed by the papaya cars. Lando again doing the business. Pierre Gasly completed top 10. And once again, sir, pretty boy George is making a strong statement for someday to drive for Toto's team. But he will be staying at Williams next season. Also, which has been confirmed, as no vacancy sign is on at Brackley. Anything you liked in qualifying, sir, apart from the Red Bull mechanics doing a miracle job?
That was the best part. I think the pink cars in the second row was great. I mean, just so I could have something to think about, even though it's a copy of a Mercedes powered by Mercedes and shifting gears by Mercedes. Brake ducts apparently will be confirmed, made by Mercedes. So, Mercedes in pink looks great. I love pink cars.
Yes, and Renault has again filed a protest, same as the last one. But man, I tell you, if this ruling goes against Racing Point, people are saying they are 100%. The whole premise of this Renault thing is that apparently they have some information. What they have, I don't know. But some, I just, let's just hope nobody went to a Kinko's in Europe and asked to make me 100 copies of these drawings, and they turn out to be brake ducts and Brembo brakes and whatever. But Renault people apparently have some information, which they have not disclosed, that they are confident that this is hanky-panky, and both Mercedes and Racing Point are involved. But if this ruling goes against Renault, then you know what? The competition has got a huge, huge problem.
I concur.
You do. Anything else you liked in qualifying or did not like in qualifying before we move to the race?
Not necessarily. I did like the mechanics. Steve Matchett must have been proud.
Yes. And how much did you enjoy the race?
I enjoyed the start of the race because of the laughter. I mean, Lewis Hamilton was so dominant that he was really in a different race. He was like, how does Mario Andretti describe it when everything is flowing and it's like in slow motion? It must have been like that. But it was exciting. I mean, I was glad for Bottas to finally get second. The laughter with the, my favorite was Haas breaking the rules, communicating to the boys. You can't do that. What's wrong with these people? Don't they read the book?
Yeah, Lewis had a 3-second lead at the end of the first lap. It was just, he checked out right away. So it was, for me, it was a very tasty serving of Hungarian goulash. And, you know, we had all sorts of drama. Max crashing on the way to the grid. Bottas botching his start. You know, he apparently, some light went on his dashboard, right? He said that. You know what that light was?
Let me guess. On his cigarette lighter, it has that little girl from the Gitane cigarettes. And she was flickering and he got excited.
Oh, ooh, kinky there, Rogers. No, actually what that light is, it's a standard equipment on the cars of confirmed number twos. And when it flickers, it's a warning sign who your teammate is. So he got sort of blinded by the light. But it was interesting, you know. I mean, he dropped back to like 6th or 7th at the start. And then at one time, we had Racing Point and Haas cars running ahead of the Ferraris. And the only thing missing from this race was the rain. They kept telling the driver, it's coming in 10 minutes, and I thought it will mix up things. But that was the only way, if something was going to go wrong with the McLaren pit stop, that Lewis was not going to win this race. So, you know, with all this performance, I would say man of the moment was in Magyar was Lewis, and of course the men from Red Bull, unbelievable job they did. And, you know, Mr. Lewis Hamilton is now the first driver to win 3 in a row at the Hungaroring, plus matching another of Schumacher's record of most wins at a track, 8. So he has 8 wins in Hungary, and Schumacher had 8 wins in Francia. Very, very impressive. Now, were you surprised when he put on the red tires very late in the race to get the fastest lap?
Oh, not at all. I mean, all you have to do is look at the time intervals between the cars. He had plenty of time. As a matter of fact, I think he used the restroom, too.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, on these unnecessary pit stops, things can go wrong.
Whoa. Things can go wrong, sure. Maybe at Minardi, or Sauber, or Super Aguri. Dude, we're talking El Mercedes-O. Even Lewis knows. It's in the bag! Superiority. I mean, it's, you know, that's what's so fantastic, is he knows they're going to nail it.
Well, as they say in German culture, there must be order. There is a lot of order right now at Mercedes-Benz. And, you know, we're only 3 races in. Now, tell me what you think about this. Still a long ways to go. Things can happen, you know. But I feel the championship is already decided. We just need to complete the formality of running all the races we can this year. And then, voila, we'll have 7 world championships and 91 Grand Prix wins. And you know, I said this a few times last year, what an irony would be, and I'm not saying this is not my wish, but it can happen that his 91st Grand Prix win happens at Parco Monza And if that is not happening, he's going to get another chance, because a week after Monza, it's Ferrari's 1000th Grand Prix at a track owned by them near Florence called Mugello. Do you see any irony in that? And how will that make you feel, Mr. Rogers?
Well, I'm not Italian, so I'm not part of that entourage. I think it's actually quite appropriate, and it could be an elegant transition from Schumacher-Ferrari years to LCH domination with the Mercedes years. They're passing the baton. Listen, it's not like Ferrari could pretend they have performance. They don't. They're a mid-pack, midfield team now. It is what it is. You got to pass the baton in respect. I mean, let's face it. Every paragraph about Formula One has LCH in it. So you've got to accept it. And I think this is a great opportunity for Ferrari to look classy. I mean, what else can they do?
You know, I just thought of something. When he wins his 91st Grand Prix win, wouldn't it be amazing if Michael Schumacher's wife comes and gives him the trophy? Think about it.
Well, that's what should happen. I mean, as long as she's cool, you know, and everybody's cool. You know, I certainly don't want to see bitterness in the Schumacher family. I think they're going to be happy. I think you're right. I think a Schumacher representative for sure. I mean, even Jean Todt could add a certain je ne sais quoi.
No. It has to be Corinna, his wife, or Ralph, or his son, Mick. That would be a very, very nice touch.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And man, I'll tell you, 7 World Championship, 9 Grand Prix wins for Lewis Hamilton. It was not too long ago when we saw him make his debut as teammate to, I don't remember that guy's name, but he was pretty good too. And we have seen, in the 70 years of Formula One, we have seen this movie only once before. So we are lucky to see both screenings in our lifetime. Okay? So this is fantastic. I think when he reaches that, a lot of people who don't like him will at least appreciate the, like you said, you know, people will realize how great Michael Schumacher was, and you cannot be a jackass to equal Michael Schumacher's record. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, amazing. Absolutely mind-blowing. It's very emotional for me as a race fan. Okay, sir, now we come to Max. This guy is something, man. The last person you would expect to spin in slippery condition on the formation lap. And I'll tell you something, man. This guy is really, if you put him in the same team as Lewis Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton will have a very hard time winning 2 races in a row. But the same can be said, because I think both of them are performing at top level. It's amazing, you know, last year Mercedes tried a trick, brought in Lewis Hamilton late, and he hunted down Max for the win. Max was pretty much a sitting duck. And they tried the same thing with Bottas. And we all know what happened. How did that make you feel, Mr. Rogers?
I'm really pumped up and excited. Me texting Fernando about how I love all this so much.
And, of course, Max was very thankful to his mechanic for the quick work in helping him achieve an impressive second-place finish. You know, what will be very, very sad with the package that he has and Bottas has, if Max wins more races than Valtteri Bottas, that's not going to be good.
I don't think we have to worry about that this year.
Then maybe Toto Wolff may have to say to whom it may concern. Yeah, and Bottas, talking about him, I think he's doing a very good job as a, you know, teammate to Lewis Hamilton, because if you're a teammate to Lewis or Max, you're asking for too much to deliver. But third year in a row, he started the Hungarian Grand Prix from second row on the grid. And as they say in a Pete Barton song, is it any wonder who won each time? On Sunday, he made a mistake, which we all do, and fell back to 7th. With 20 laps to go, he came in for fresh rubber and began his pursuit of Max, who was about 20 seconds ahead. This was cut in half in 10 laps, and it was cut again in half, but he just could not deliver the last cut, you know, to make it happen. Remember, we used to talk a lot about DNF Chapel in days gone by. I think for Bottas to win the championship, he needs to go to the Winchester Cathedral, Delhi. And there is a weekend in between races now, so that might not be a bad idea. And talking of this break coming up, sir, before the two races at Silverstone, are you happy with the break, or would you rather have a race every weekend?
I needed a break after all the domination. I can only take so much domination, then I have to have a break, watch a little Iowa, watch a little Texas, then I'm feeling a little bit better.
Wow, very impressive. No, I think a break is good, and the people working in the business, they need some anyway. Lance Stroll was fourth and looked like he belongs in the big league. Impressive drive. He really impressed me, and I thought he would do this last year, but somehow it did not work out. And I guess Papa Lawrence is right. Put my son in car 77, he will win races. Baku remains his only podium so far, but more may be coming soon. His teammate Sergio Perez was 7th. Actually, I was expecting Perez to try to butt in and get on the podium, but obviously it did not happen. Let's see what you say on this issue. Alexander Albon, the second Red Bull driver, was 5th. Some people are asking for chop chop by Dr. Marco on him. I think they should keep him. Same reason Mercedes should keep Bottas. There is decent potential here. His only crime is he has what DC calls the least desirable seat in Formula One. Apart from Lewis, I don't think there is a driver out there who can rattle Max's cage in the same team, and the reverse is also true. Mr. Rogers, satisfied with Albon, or you want him out?
I'm satisfied with Albon. I think the team, I don't know, dropped the ball on the setup on his car. You could tell he was a little frustrated, but Albon's fine. He's a good driver. He overtakes well, except for around Lewis. Stay away from Lewis. But other than that, I like him.
Yeah. And now we come to how things were. Sebastian Vettel. Days of yore and glory of blown diffuser is now a distant memory, like days of wine and Red Bull. The finger has not been seen in quite a while, and in Hungary, the best his Ferrari could flick was 6th place finish. He did invite Martin Brundle for a sit-down chat, which was very unusual for him. But this was a nice chat. I think it's available on YouTube now. He did come across sweet as a humble pie from Marie Callender's. Hard to believe a 4-time world champion is looking for a ride. Martin reminded him that he was having dinner with Christian Horner at Suzuka some years ago when a text came from Seb to Horner requesting a meeting in his hotel room. It was time to say sayonara. I would like to see Seb stay in F1. There is growing speculation that he will be teammate to Lance next season. Now, interestingly, we were talking on this issue. Seb said one of his motivations at Ferrari was to stop Lewis taking away Michael's records. Well, I guess it's time to order Connie Francis CD for Christmas. Who's sorry now?
Who's sorry now? Sorry now.
Would you like to see Mr. Vettel stay in Formula One?
It doesn't matter. I mean, for me, he's not that exciting of a driver anymore. I don't see what we used to see, like winning with a Toro Rosso in the rain at Monza. I haven't seen something like that in a long time. I don't think he's going to take the Aston Martin ride. I mean, to get somebody... I mean, you have to tell Perez to go away to get the seat. I mean, is Vettel that kind of a person?
No, I think he's a good person. But talking of Sergio Perez, he was outpinned in Hungary by his teammate, and he will make a few million dollars if Papa Stroll replaces him with Seb because he has a long-term contract. Sergio has some good money from Carlos Slim's companies. So he, according to himself in the press conference, that he has already been approached by other teams. So we will see Sergio in Formula One, whether Seb takes his seat or not. Now we come to the hardest working man on the track, Daniel Ricciardo. He came in 8th for Renault. Good car or bad car, man always has a smile. Can't wait to see him at McLaren, powered by Mercedes next year. Martin Brundle said McLaren between Danny and Lando will be team giggles. And I think this giggling will continue. till McLaren has a competitor car and they start rattling each other's cage, which I think Lando in his third year by then is very capable of doing to Danny and vice versa, of course. Carlos Sainz was promoted to 9th after a time penalty on K-Mag dropped the Haas driver to 10th. Still a good day for the American team as they scored first point of the season. Kevin Magnussen and teammate Romain Grosjean were both given a 10-second penalty for getting instructions from the pit lane to come in for tire change at the end of formation lap. Man, I was really hoping some other teams would do that just to shake things up, but just did not work out. And your fellow Francais, Pierre Gasly, was the only retirement of the race on lap 17 due to done blowed up. What do you see as the future of Gasly and Daniel Kvyat?
Well, I think Gasly's pretty good. I mean, really, once again, his car was completely cursed. If anybody got cursed by the DNF Chapel, it was Gasly. I mean, I felt bad for the guy. But I think he'll stick around. Kvyat, possible. They're doing the best they can. The problem is Dr. Marco likes to chop chop. So we could see somebody new in there next year. It's fine with me.
Yeah, they have quite a few young talent in junior Formula, which we will talk about just in a moment. But not all of them are with Red Bull. But like you said, Dr. Marco does like to do chop chop. But frankly speaking, you know, I don't see much scope for Gasly or Kvyat as teammate to Max Verstappen or for any other driver for that matter. So to bring them back to get slaughtered again, I don't think they're going to do that. They might just throw in somebody from their junior program and see if they can hack it.
I think you're right. Absolutely. So on that note, we've got a Motorsports Mondial coming up. So why don't we hear a little bit from Gary Sloan, and then after that, it's going to be break time. So we'll be back.
Hello, listeners. My name is Gary Sloan, and this is this week's edition of In the Pit Lane. So the tension mounts at Racing Point as the World Formula One waits with bated breath to find out if Vettel will sign for the team and who will walk the plank. Will Stroll Sr. do the unthinkable and sack his son and retain Perez for the 2021 season? Well, most commentators believe it will be Perez going for a stroll down the pit lane, even if he has been faster and brings big bucks to the team. Lance, of course, is making the decision even harder with a good start to the 2020 season. So it's worth trying to figure out the mindset of Lawrence Stroll as he contemplates his next move. Well, the most common personality trait amongst billionaires is an insatiable desire for money and success. And one can safely assume Lawrence is no different. I think he will, in pursuit of his goals, act ruthlessly. Everyone assumed the motivation for establishing Racing Point was to guarantee Lance a Formula One drive. But was it? At the time, Stroll told the New York Times, "Whilst I've been a great admirer of the sport, and obviously a great supporter since my son has been a driver, I never really anticipated owning a team, wanting a team. But put simply, this was a phenomenal business opportunity that presented itself." So maybe money is more important to Stroll than his son's ambitions. And if you were to ask any team owner or principal to a man or woman, they will say winning the constructors' title is the number one priority, and winning the driver's title is great, but it's not their focus. It's a bonus. So why would Lawrence Stroll be any different? He is, after all, in Formula One to win. The pursuit of this goal will require Racing Point to sign the best drivers possible. And as he decides driver choice, if he feels Lance is not cutting the mustard, then does he do the unthinkable and ditch his son? Far-fetched? I'm not so sure. Last year at Spa, it was announced that Sergio Perez had signed a 3-year deal to drive for Racing Point, and the team was still in talks with Lance. There was laughter all down the pit lane as everyone claimed as much as bears go into the woods, Lance would get the drive. Well, he did subsequently sign, but here's the twist. The team did not specify the length of his contract, only he would drive next season. As it transpired, he only had a 1-year deal, as he subsequently signed again in 2020 for the 2021 season. Stroll started with a desire to see his son as a Formula One driver, and he certainly has spent a small fortune in doing so, previously investing in Italy's third motorsports team, Perma Power, of which Lance would go on to win the Euro F3 Championship in 2016. Subsequently, Stroll spent an eye-watering estimated $80 million to secure a drive and supposed testing costs for Lance at the Williams Formula One team. So will Stroll be prepared to write off this investment, or will he instead engineer a move for Lance to Haas or Alfa Romeo? Well, I feel Perez will become collateral damage as Stroll embarks on his vision for owning a world championship team with his son crowned world champion. Is that a realistic possibility? Well, speaking to Formula1.com at the start of the 2019 season, Stroll stated his ambitions. Long term, when all the rules change, hopefully we will be one of the greatest teams in the paddock. It's worth noting billionaires never limit themselves. Example by one Donald Trump who said, "I like thinking big. If you're going to be thinking anything, you might as well think big." Well, and let's face it, who thought he would have become President of the United States? But then, that's billionaires for you. So, lots of questions are going to be answered very soon in this unpredictable and intriguing 2020 season. On a footnote, in the display of his alpha male character, Lawrence is no doubt pleased he owns the biggest super yacht amongst the paddock. At 317 feet, it wins over once a Jim Ratcliffe Sea of Mercedes sponsorship, falling short at 258 feet. McLaren's Mansour Auger, a pitiful 235 feet. Well, that's it for another week. More details at inthepitlane.com. Till next week, stay safe, stay well.
Our shout-outs last week, let's get through them now. The podcasters at f1weekly.com.
Welcome back to f1weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we shall start with Formula 2. Saturday's feature race was quite the Russian Revolution. Robert Schwartzman started 11th on hard tires and did a long stint. With about a dozen laps remaining, he changed to red tires and came out 4th. He passed them all to take 2nd victory in a row. Very impressive. His comrade Nikita Mazepin started 16th and using the same strategy finished 2nd. A Russian 1-2 in Formula 2, who would have thought possible a few years ago. Mick Schumacher was on his way to his first feature race victory, but he got hunted down by these Ruskies and finished 3rd on the podium. His only other F2 podium came at the same track last year when he won the sprint race. Sunday's sprint race had a close finish, and this was very exciting as Italian Luca Giotto ran the entire race on one set of tires, which is normally the case in the sprint race, and almost got hunted down by English driver Callum Ilott, who had stopped like so many other drivers for a tire change. Mick Schumacher was once again on the podium in 3rd, so good for him. In the championship, after 3 rounds, which means 6 races, Schwartzman is leading 81 points, Ilott second year driver 63, and Danish driver Lundgaard, Christian Lundgaard 43, doing a very impressive job. Rookie leading is not a good thing for second year and veteran drivers of this series. Mick Schumacher is in his second year, I think his last name is worth 6/10, and millions in family Swiss bank account should give him another 6/10. And a seat in Formula 1 next year. And Mattia Binotto has come out saying that it's too early to think of Mick Schumacher in Formula 1. But I will not be surprised if we see him at Alfa Romeo Sauber. And then there's always Miss Claire. Please pick up the green courtesy phone. Lots of bucks here. So we'll see what happens. Do you think we'll see Mick Schumacher in Formula 1 next year?
Yes, I think he'll replace Kimi Raikkonen.
I think we will see him somewhere. I don't think he's going to do 3 years of Formula 2. Okay, in F3, American kid from Boca Raton, Florida, Logan Sargeant, finished 3rd in Saturday's race, his 3rd podium in 5 races, which was very impressive. But he was given a 5-second penalty that gave his podium spot to Bent Wiskal of Netherlands. Aussie mate and race winner from the opening round, Oscar Piastri, was 2nd. Winner for the 2nd successive race was, what I call, le star in the making, your fellow Francais, 16-year-old Theo Pourchaire, coming from nowhere. And this is something I always tell parents of young drivers who talk to me about what they should do. And I always tell them, if you repeat a series and your son gets beaten by a rookie, the party for Formula 1 is over right there and then. Second race on Sunday saw a great performance from Wiskal, but this was very impressive but very frustrating. It turned into a double Dutch disappointment. After he took the lead, he was told by the team he has a 5-second penalty for an incident with Brazilian Igor Fraga. Viscal went for it and developed a 6-second lead, which he looked set to maintain and take a great win. Then came the Valtteri. This is James' moment. With only a few laps to go, he was advised, which was reported on TV earlier, that he was going to get another 5-second penalty for passing Logan Sargeant by going off track earlier than the race, which he did very clearly and should have given up the spot to Logan, but since of the pass, came back to haunt him. German driver David Backman was the big beneficiary and got the race win. Piastri was second and Red Bull Jr. from Norway, Dennis Hauger, was third. He needs to start winning soon, otherwise Dr. Marco will go chop-chop on Norwegian wood, and that won't be a happy tune. In the championship, another fine performance by a rookie, Mr. Oscar Piastri, leading with 76 points. American Sargeant is second on 50 points. Purcher, another rookie, is third with 48 points. In this race, I have not seen, but I did miss it, a MotoGP opening round from Jerez. The opening round was a shocker. No Marc Marquez on the podium, and we have a first-time winner in MotoGP. Man from Yao Shangri-La, Fabio Quartararo, on a Petronas Yamaha. Local hombre, Maverick Vinales, was second for Monster Yamaha, with the Italian combo of Andrea Dovizioso and Ducati third. Marquez had a big crash late in the race and was hit by his own bike. He's going to go for some surgery now, so we wish him a speedy recovery because he is serious Mr. Excitement on the MotoGP track. Sir, some very sad news. Ron Toranac, who was the T in the Brabham BT name of cars, he passed away. He was in his early 90s. Obviously, coming from Australia, he moved to England to work with Jack Brabham and designed all Brabham cars, started his own company, and was in motor racing for a long, long time in England before moving back to native Australia some years ago. So he passed away, another passing of a great name from the history of motor racing, and our condolences to the family. Moving to Sebring, Florida, not too far from here, Caddy in the winning shack, driven by Pipo Derani and cousin Felipe Nasser, both from Brazil. IndyCar action from your favorite track, Iowa, a track that was designed from the mind of Rusty Wallace. Two races, both won by Penske driver Simon Pagenaud from Francia and Joseph Newgarden, who I believe is from Tennessee, has done a great job with Roger Penske, I have to say. Now, Mr. Rogers, we come to points to ponder. We have to have a little bit more of LCH, and this is in the Tom Carnegie segment. It's a new track record. He's on it. Seems like LCH is enjoying the Halcyon Ferrari days that M. Schumacher made so easy after the first four seasons were over with the red car. With every qualifying and race, there is a new high for Hamilton. After bagging his first win of the season in round two, he is now one of only two drivers to have won a Grand Prix in three different decades. Jack Brabham now has company. Jack's first win came in 1959, and his final Grand Prix victory was in 1970. And I understand that if Sebastian Vettel wins a race this year or next year, if he has a seat, then he will also be one of those drivers to have won a race in three different decades. So very interesting. Now, did you see Toto Wolff and his plastic screen at the opening round?
Yes, and I some people don't like the mask, so you can wear the screen. I like the screen, but I don't own a screen because nobody's given me a screen. And so I'm wearing a mask when I go outdoors or when I need to go pick up French bottles of wine.
There you go. Well, yeah, it looked pretty cute. The FIA has instructed Wolfman no mask on Grand Prix weekend. Toto has readily agreed to comply, saying rules are rules, and said, if I had to wear Pampers on my nose, I would do that, whatever it takes. Nice of him to be so considerate. Now we come to Rambling Russell. George Russell has leapt to Alex Albon's defense, saying that he's being made to look like an idiot by Red Bull. Russell described Albon as one of the best drivers he has raced against and urged Red Bull to sort out whatever seems to be the root issue for Albon's difficult start to the 2020 season, saying, and I quote, "I've known Alex for the last 15 years, being in the same paddock as him, and he's one of the best drivers we've all raced. Max, Charles, all of us will say it. I don't know what the hell is going on," end of quote. And Max Verstappen has come to Albon's aid, saying that George needs to mind his own business, basically. Okay, sir, now we come to famous last words. Apparently, Mr. Binotto is under a lot of pressure in Italia. Okay, according to the media there in Italy, the powers that be have a plan for a successor, and they have even named a guy who might succeed him, Antonello Coletta. He is currently head of Ferrari sporting activities, including the F1 Clienti program and GT Racing. And according to La Gazzetta dello Sport, which is a very well-known Italian sporting newspaper, they said, and I quote, "When the ingredients are good, it must be that the chefs cannot cook," end of quote. You know, at F1 Weekly, we like to give free advice, so I say, let's get Signor Binotto enrolled in McDonnell University and let the prancing horse pass with flying colors under the golden arches. Upon graduation, only question remaining will be, "You want some fries with that?" That's all for today, folks. Any French fries from you, Mr. Rogers?
No French fries from me, because really, French fries were invented by the Belgians. Let's give the credit where credit is due. So there you go, Nas. So, so we go to Silverstone. More LCH domination all across the great British nation.
Yeah, he has won there many times. I don't know what the weather is going to be like. Obviously, no spectators. And there are two races, so we can count on easily Lewis Hamilton winning at least one of them.
You think?
Well, one for sure. Two, that's very possible, but you know, things can happen. Do you think, he only has a 5-point lead in the championship, and we still have quite a few races to go. Do you think Bottas has a hope?
Zero. Or should I say love?
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. I mean, normal course of business, it's going to be very, very hard to beat Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen, talking from the point of view of their teammates.
Yes, unfortunately, Max Verstappen doesn't drive a Mercedes. So we're not going to, unfortunately, that's the saddest thing, is we're not going to get the machismo against the machismo. And I really think all of us deep down want to see two machismos head to head. Unfortunately, if everything goes the way the Hungarian Grand Prix started, and you gotta love it, Bottas has a sort of a false start, but he didn't jump the start, so it backed everybody up a little bit, and boy, LCH gone into the distance.
Yeah, we still don't know how many races we're gonna have. I think that right now they're committed to like 15, I believe. And time is also running out, you know, we're not going to have races in January, February. So, I think if Lewis gets a 30-point lead over Bottas, then it's going to be all over. Like, if not over already. You think Sebastian will win a race this year?
Sebastian Bourdais?
No, Sebastian Buemi.
Yes, he's winning the race of disc jockeys.
Yeah. I think Ferrari's got some huge issues now.
You know, we don't know the kind of deal that they made with the FIA. And unfortunately, that deal means you have to be a mid-pack team for a while. You'll get your check at the end of the year, as the Concord Agreement states. Ferrari is special. They get extra money. So that never gets threatened. I sort of feel bad for Leclerc. Because if Ferrari can't get their act together, there's another waste of talent, if you see what I'm talking about.
No, I totally agree with you, and with the rules being, they're going to use the same rules for next year also. And what, like you said, we don't know what's in that agreement with FIA, but they must have been doing some very clever tricks. That I think it was at the U.S. Grand Prix, where, which was the first race last year, where they were told not to do that, and then that's when Max made a statement, that's what happens when you cheat. So, yeah, they got a huge mountain to climb.
Yeah, so it's too bad for Leclerc. And it's funny, when people get signed to Ferrari, like Sainz Jr., you know, Carlos Sainz Jr. is pretty excited. I mean, he's going to be a Ferrari driver next year, but that wears off a little pretty quickly. I mean, you get your, you meet everybody at the factory, you get your suit, you know, you're feeling really good. You're a driver for Ferrari, for God's sakes. But ask Alan Prost, it wears off a little bit, and then all of a sudden, you know, if you're fighting Renaults and pink cars, there's going to be, and we've seen Leclerc get frustrated in the car, even in Hungary. I mean, he was crying about the tires, the left tire. I mean, and now they have that new graphic, 40% here, 20% there, which I think is great. But no, Leclerc has got some issues that he needs to iron out. And what he needs to do, because he becomes number one next year, he has to take it upon himself, like Michael Schumacher did, to get this team pumped up and back at the front of the spear.
Well, you know, it was Gerhard Berger. He drove for them, and he once made a comment that once you go to the Ferrari factory, and once you're outside and you look at that facility and the Fiorano private test track, you wonder why they don't win every race. And then he said, once you get inside and find out what goes on there, then you wonder how they even win a race. So, well, they, what they had with Schumacher was a group of people that was just like, you know, basically, it was like the, you know, I remember watching one day an interview with Magic Johnson, and I think he was the head of the U.S., captain of the U.S. basketball team, and basketball was first introduced in the Olympics. And he was talking like, you know, I would look one side, there is Larry Bird, there is all these big names, Michael Jordan, I don't know who else was in that. And he goes, I did not even know where to throw the ball.
Yes, I believe we call that the dream team.
Yeah, exactly. So it's that's what they had, you know, Rory Byrne, Jean Todt, Ross Brawn. And they brought in the best of racing talent from all over the world, you know. And but it's very sad. It's such a magical name. But, you know, they have not won a Formula One Drivers' Championship since 2007. That's pretty sad. And they still get $90 million before anybody sees a dime. But I will not be surprised next year if they are running behind Mercedes, Racing Point, Red Bull, and McLaren Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean, they're fighting with McLaren Renault right now, which is sad. I mean, you know, look how hard it was for Leclerc fighting Norris during the Hungarian Grand Prix. It's going to be interesting, but yeah, Ferrari has a lot of work to do. I think Leclerc really needs to get more involved in the motivation and the technical side. You know, he needs to give better input to his engineers to get this Ferrari. It's bad. I mean, and we all want Ferrari to do well. Because a Ferrari that's winning is good for Formula One.
Absolutely. No wonder they get $90 million.
Exactly. I mean, they're going to get that no matter what, whether they're in the back or in the front. But it's for the spectators. You know, I wish we all want something that's fun to watch, where we all have our favorite drivers and, you know, the championship is between three, four people. We'll get back to that one day. I just want to be alive when it happens.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see a day when in our lifetime or whatever is remaining where somebody will win a race championship and the name will not be Lewis Hamilton.
That would be nice. Unfortunately, I mean, I think they've already made all the trophies up into 2024. Yeah, he just has to pick them up. So anyway, there you go. NAS is going to be exciting. I think we just have to have more LCH hats passed around. We just have to love it. But have fun with it, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, sir. We'll talk to you next week. Formula One or no Formula One, there will be F1 Weekly.
Absolutely. F1 Weekly is on time every time. We're the Qantas of podcasting.
And of course, you are the John Travolta.
Thank you. Thank you. So while I'm getting that fever going, I want to thank everybody who listens, and I'll see you at the hot dog stand.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.